Nay, Gracie, short of a person like he was, he was such a good flyer. I remember coming back on the first time we ever flew with him, and he sort of tipped his wing over like this on top of a wing of a plane flying next to us. And the pilot over there started cussing him and so forth. He said, "Damn you." He says, "This is my last mission and you're trying to kill me."
He knew that was his last mission.
It's kind of a, yeah. It's kind
could
of
you
a top
see
gun
thing to do. Facial expressions of the people? Could you
Wait,
see,
do what?
Could you see facial expressions of the planes
next to you?
Next to you? Could you see their faces? Could you?
No, I couldn't. I couldn't see. For instance, I could probably see the co-pilots because usually I'm flying on the right of the. I'm flying on the right side of another plane because we ordinarily fly a lead plane, and that's how good our pilot was, the one we got. Now, Irwin was a jolly fella that may be a little taller than I am.
Who is Irwin?
He was the first pilot that
we
got.
Oh, the one that you all got rid of.
And he had a wife, and she and I were friends because she was from Wheeling, West Virginia.
So, when you flew your plane, because you had a good pilot,
did what?
When you flew, because your pilot was
when
so
we,
good?
When we flew, we usually flew right there, right there.
Because your pilot was so good.
Well, they made him test, you know, take Irwin out and check him out. And they said, and we want you to check him out, too.
What did he think of Irwin?
He didn't care.
Did he think Irwin was...
He told us that he was not going to make friends with us. What happened? He got sick and he was hospitalized for some reason. Never did find out why. And I don't know. He was from New York City or on the island there, you know, on the island of New York. And he was from there, and he wasn't college educated, and he didn't care who you were or anything like that. He was a nice person. After the war, he ended up selling munis. He called them, you know, municipal bonds.
You weren't. Now, where were you March 8th?
March the 8th.
43.
He said it started April.
I was coming. I was probably.
April. Okay. You were on the boat.
I was probably here in Iceland that island, I'm trying to think of the name, that island, it's right off the coast of
Hebrides,
Scotland.
Hebrides,
Kit Lewis told me that's where the Lewises were from, because there was a little territory there. It belongs to Scotland, but
Isle of Man, that's part of England, by the way.
You what?
Isle of Man, that's part of England.
No, it's a town, it's the... You can look at a map of Scotland and right off, in other words, right over here to the right as you're looking down on it. Over here, you've got this little aisle. Let's see.
Well, let me.
I can remember.
Well, it'll come back to you. But while you think about that, the guy that you didn't like.
He,
you know,
wouldn't. He,
I mean, some people. He might be good at actually flying the plane, but if you get scared.
He was scared.
Yeah, then they all go, it doesn't help that you know how to fly a plane.
He was scared, so the co-pilot, whose name was Shepard, and he was from either Salt Lake City or some nearby one, but he and Stevenson were real good friends. After they came back, they decided that if they would let them fly this wooden two-engine plane, made out of plywood and so forth. The English did it. They let him and his friend, the former co-pilot, if they had let them fly this thing, they'd fly another set of missions. Now, if you ever hear me say something like that, you know I'm...
You've lost it.
I got it.
Yeah.
Now, talking about how I got it, for instance, in September, I resigned as a member of the board of directors of that bank, you know, that I've been a director on for about 30 years. And I told them, I said, look, I'm getting blind in my right eye, and I can't hear out of the left one, and the right one is going on the blink, too. I have an earpiece there. And anyway, it goes on and on. And so guess what? Nobody else ever got a watch after they resigned. I think I'm the only person that ever got a watch from...
Oh, my gosh, it's a Rolex.
No, it's not a Rolex. It's a Citizens. I think they're supposed to be as good.
Which squadron? Were you 369?
That's what?
What were you?
What squadron?
What squadron were you in?
This was the 36. Let's see, 306 group,
right.
368. They were, now this had 367, 368, 369, and 423rd. My car that's parked out here, it's got all the picture of all four of them in a circle, and then the 306 is in there, you know. And I see every once in a while somebody will stop and peer at the back window of the car, but that doesn't bother. Anyway, I've had better luck. In other words, since I told them that I wasn't going to come to work anymore, I'm 90 years old, they said, you can't do that. I said, well, I'm not dead yet like everybody else that ever got away from the board. I know that why they wanted me on there, because I have written, you know, tons of trust agreements, wills and trust agreements and things like that. And there wasn't anybody else on that board or even in that bank who knew anything like that, because most of the trust agreements that they were taking care of, I wrote them.
Did you feel any different the 24th mission than you did the first? Did you ever get used to it?
I'm scared all the time.
Were you as scared the 24th as you were the first?
For the 25th?
I was always scared. For example, after D-Day, and we started... For instance, we were very careful about one thing. We never dropped a bomb on any of our own troops. Some of them were, but we found out that they were these B-26. I was at the exhibit out here. You know, they got where they got the 8th Air Force Museum. So I saw these two people. I was looking at a B-24 that was parked there, and I saw these two people, man and a woman, looking at another one in there, and she turned to me and she says, do you know what plane that is? I said, yeah. I said, you want to know what the boys called it or what the real name was? Just give it to me. So I told her, I said, now, the name of it was a B-26. And I said, and the fellas who flew it called it the pregnant prostitute, because it had no means of support. The wings were so short. I said, look at the wings in here. And but I tell you, you know these brakes that they use on cars these days and so forth. The B-26 was the first time I ever knew there was any kind of brakes like that. You know, they have
drum brakes.
Yeah, they have these things in here. They have these discs that goes around like that. And when you push the brake up there, the fluid pushes these round discs together, and that's your brake.
Yep.
They were all right.
Disc brakes, yep.
But anyway, Nash, as I say, he let this wing right down on the wing of this fella flying right beside him.
How many feet away was it?
Well, it was close enough until his wingtip could come
That's
over
close.
On the other one. He was that good. He could get away with it. All of us decided that Nash was the best pilot in the whole Air Force. And because, oh, and one other thing, he and Nash, not Nash, Joe, the one from Salt Lake, from Miami, he was from Utah, huh?
Right.
Yeah, he was from Utah. And he, in other words, he had been the co-pilot on the airplane, and Stevenson talked him into this. And although they were scheduled to take General MacArthur over to Japan to sign the peace agreement, you know, the
right.
end of the war agreements and things like that, he got a promotion to captain and they cut off the, you know, they just turned that one over and said, well, we're not going to do that yet. You boys can go back to wherever you're going, you know, wherever you've been. And then he said, what are you two going to do? And he says, well, he says, Nash is going to sell munis.
When did Nash die?
I don't know, but he was living in Florida, and he had been... I don't know. You got the bombardier. He decided he was going to stay in military. And I heard or saw somewhere in a newspaper or something where he had been promoted to colonel.
What was his name?
His name is Anderson.
Who did you fly with the most? Because these people, there were overlapping tours.
I did not fly more than, let's say, five missions with Irwin.
Who?
And the rest of them I flew with Nash.
So you flew 20 missions with Nash.
I'd say that's probably right.
He didn't fraternize with you.
Fraternized with. For instance, he used to have a. Let's see, he's an oceanographer, and he is elected as the permanent chief, or let's see, would you call us chief?
Director,
or,
maybe.
He's the head man. He was the permanent secretary of the International Oceanographic Society. And he even got one of those, you know, one of those things that they give you these printed in gold
right.
certificates, you know. He got one of those. I've forgotten which one of them it is, but it's one that comes from somebody in California. And he corresponded, email, with a person from Australia. I don't remember his name. But anyway, he used to send me copies of his mail to this man and copies of the mail he got back from him. And Stevenson, he was a brilliant person. He wrote articles. There's some sort of a technical...
How many missions did you fly with him?
All of them.
25?
Yeah, all of them with him.
Who else did you fly with?
Well, there's a fella who was a radio operator with us. His name was Scott Alini.
Oh, she wrote the book.
If you look in the book department in Walmarts and so forth, you'll find Miss Scott Alini is writing books.
She's pretty famous.
And let's see.
Who else did you fly with?
Stevenson was a navigator, right?
No, Nash.
Navigator.
Navigator was Bob Stevenson. His wife died, and he married the nurse who'd been taking care of her. And after we had been corresponding for quite a while, they moved to Hawaii, and he died in Hawaii.
Tell him why he moved to Hawaii.
Hmm?
Tell them why he moved to Hawaii.
Why he did what?
Why did he move to Hawaii? Tell them why.
Well, he was found out that...
It was the Y2K thing. Wasn't he paranoid about Y2K and he moved to Hawaii? Didn't he tell me that?
No, that wasn't... I don't think that was the reason. I think that he had a couple sons who were Air Force officers in Washington, D.C., and they started giving him a hard time. For example, when his wife died, their mother, they wanted all the stuff that she had and this, that, and the other, which is entirely outside the law. And anyway, they just packed up and moved over there, and sometimes he'd call, but that morning when he did die, he called on telephone. In other words, she called and said, he wants to call you, want to talk with you. And of course, he couldn't talk. But I don't know, they were all good fellas, but I have to agree with them that Mr. Irwin, IRWIN.
Maybe he's here. Maybe we should be
quiet. I don't think so. I think Mr. Irwin's wife divorced him after that, and after she had one little one. And of course, since she came from Wheeling, West Virginia, well, I had to take up for her.
Now, when you got back to Thurlow and you ate, did the 10 of you all eat together? Did you?
No, all of us ate together.
I mean, you 10, were you all really tight? Did you sleep together, eat together?
No, we didn't sleep together. They had what they would call some sort of a barracks, but it wasn't much different from what we had.
How were you assigned to that?
We weren't assigned to it. When we go in, you know, you're in the Army now.
And did you
said,
go to the same?
Said, you fellas, find you a bunk in here or something like that. And we stole so many eggs from that special little cafeteria, that little mess hall where they fed the flyers when they came back from a mission. That's the first time you got, I don't know.
So they fed you really well when you came back?
Yep.
It was a feat. You went to a different dining hall when you came back.
Well, they were fresh eggs and ham and so forth that wasn't too ripe. And
heck with food. Can we get back to the plane for a second?
No, but
I'm going to ask him. The plane got shot down right after your last mission, right?
Number 26 that got shot down.
What was the name of your plane?
They said, I've seen several places where the average life of a B-17 was 46 missions. Well, of course, we put 20 some on there, I guess. And there was they had prepared all of our papers, and I was even over to the port of embarkation where I was going to get to Queen Elizabeth and sail on back to New York. And the whole crew was. And Stevenson and all. And one of the fellas came in who had been later sent to this base. And he came in and he says, Your plane got shot down. You're kidding. Nope. He says on its 46th mission. In other words, it had to be a little over a week or maybe a week after we finished.
Do you know the name? Did the plane have a name? They had girls painted on them?
Nash named the plane. It had a picture of a pretty girl on it, like so many of them did. And the name of it was Belle, B-E-L-L-E, of the Brawl, B-R-A-W-L.
Did you know anyone that did?
There's a picture of it over there. There's a Belle the Brawl picture of it.
Is
on
there?
The corner. Yes.
The whole lot of planes had these pictures on them.
Was anyone you knew still on the plane? Did you know anyone that...
No.
So the whole crew had rotated off.
There was a new major who came over there and with the crew, and they showed that, you know, no partiality. That's my earphone. You know how it is when you're going blind in the right eye and your right ear is already almost that way.
What do they say? It sucks to get old, but it beats the alternative. Is that
I guess so.
That's the new one you just got. Right?
Yeah. The VA.
This one. You got one of them?
No.
This one. I'll show it to you.
No, you don't. No, have
no.
To do
okay.
That.
I mean,
you don't
I don't care. Look
that.
Here.
Yeah.
That's the new one.
Yeah. That's all it is.
It's VA issue, right?
Yeah. I expect that cost maybe $25. But it's the best one that they put out.
Give it a name.
I've got.
This is a favorite topic with the fellas who goes over to the VA hospital.
Yeah.
And they give him one of these, and he says, he comes back and he tells everybody, boy, I've got $14,000 worth of hearing aids. $14,000. That's what Freddie, you know who, from Welch.
Well, today they got these hearing aids that have what they call T-coil capable.
I got the... Your mama ordered one. She thought, well, it ought to be as good as any of them. And she ordered one. What was the name of this old one?
From a television ad?
I don't know if it's television or magazines, but anyway, this old, the place, you see, the company before the war and after.
Bell?
Huh?
Bell?
No, they were strictly in the movie camera and the camera business and things like that.
Bell and Howell?
Huh?
Bell and Howell?
I think you got it. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that was. I think that's probably it.
And it cost her $18. And it was made just like this one, except it didn't have that little black ball on the end of it.
You escaped. Did Josh get shot down?
So these are good ones. T-coil.
Well, what the T-coil does is in a lot of hotels like this.
Oh, I know what
they have the thing going around that you can't see, and it will broadcast from the speaker system of the hotel right into the hearing aid itself. Now, the problem with that is 2 years ago or 3 years ago in a board meeting, Sheldon Beagle had his there, and all of a sudden he says, somebody's talking in my ear. Well, the meeting room right next to ours, which is very large, and they had that going, and so he was getting unwanted the speech and conversation from the speaker stand of the room next door. So I don't know what the solution to that is, but it's called a T-coil, and you also, because I'm investigating this for my church where we're going to get a hearing assistance thing, is you also can put a loop around your neck if you don't have that built, and if the building doesn't have it built, the antenna built in around it, you can actually have a loop around your neck, and it achieves the same thing, and it causes the broadcast to go to the hearing aid, and other people will have earphones or earbuds or something like that. So
this one I've only had about a month.
It's working though. And you can hear us.
I think you're doing
better. I go over there and they, here comes trouble, and I said, no, I said, all I've done, I've lost the instruction book. And they got me another one, and how's it doing? I said, this is the best one I've got so far.
You can hear us.
Make
now.
Sure I get your email, because I've been recording the last 15 minutes of this.
Where's Dr. Williams? Is he?
He didn't go to dinner with us. He said he had too much to do. And he's had some health issues, so I mean it's just a big concern. He was in Kenya. He's among many other things he does. He goes down to Kenya like 2 or 3 times a year for this. This church sponsors this school for blind and type kids and whatever.
There's that.
And he fell and had some injuries in the hospital, and they don't have very good hospitals there and whatever. And of course, he has other problems. He's just too heavy. And so ear doctors, you get more issues. You typically have more issues when you're that much overweight. So, he's a very bright man, and he's been very generous with his time with us and his talents. So I want to keep him going.
Oh,
are there
going
to be any?
Oh, with the names
or Abilene again this year?
No. Basically, it used to be the association had hundreds of people, and they made money on these reunions, and that was and so we had enough money to pay for these guys because they can't do it all by themselves. And we decided a few years ago that we don't have enough money to be able to afford to pay those. And so that's why we now have volunteers doing the stuffing these envelopes and manning the desk and that sort of thing.
It's got my name on the front page and somebody else is on the second one. Wait a minute.
Well, there are some additions and corrections to the directory in there.
Yeah.
You guys live in
he picked this up from the secretary or something.
There briefly.
But it says that I and my wife or something, 368 William Nash crew, the Ellen Brown.
So 368.
And he's putting that in there because there are three.
Yeah.
But we're starting to combine these more, right?
And I understand because they're probably the numbers
here. Are they starting to?
No.
Are they in these groups?
Well, some of them have. That's one of the issues with
your
faceless injuries.
Nash would have been either their granddad or something.
Some of the guys wanted to join the Mighty Eighth combined reunion. But the problem is that it generally drops off dramatically. Your attendance drops off dramatically when that happens. So, what we're trying to do is transition to, second generation really running things. It's pretty much happening now, and keep it going, because there's also a lot of these veterans out there who can't come to these meetings. They enjoy getting the echoes and some of the stuff on online and whatever. So, we're trying to get more involved in the second generation. So today we had that meeting about basically cyberspace kind of things. At least the older guys don't care. They don't go through with that. But the younger folks, I'm one of the younger folks, right? Facebook, blogs, how do you do those? You end up finding these people from overseas and incredible connections and things. And a lot of people tend to get interested in this stuff, your age and my age, and in the 40s and up. Occasionally get a young person who gets interested in it younger, but most people don't really appreciate that until they get a little bit older. But we've got some wonderful people here.
Where's your mama?
Okay.
It isn't. She usually wants to be part of it.
I think we closed this party.
I think so. It's probably time to call it quick.
We closed this party down.
Yeah, I think so.
We closed this party down.
Okay.
I'm going to go up and have a glass of wine and call it quits, you know? Yeah, we got an early morning.
Have you got tomorrow. One of these things?
I'm not handy. We do have them.
Oh, well, that's all right.
My wife prepared it, so. I'm sure she can answer any question you have.
We'll do that tomorrow.
I tell you what, somewhere over here, the third or fourth page, there's the name of these three people.
Isn't with us anymore, and, but my dad got me.
I think they are the people who was Bill Nash's crew. Have you seen that? It's in here somewhere.
Yeah, ask my wife tomorrow, Barbara Neal.
Yeah.
She did this.
Okay, yeah, I know.
She'll be able to tell you.
I've talked to her.
Right, she knows all that stuff.
Yeah.
The fount of all knowledge. She knows it. So nail her tomorrow and say, hey, what is this?
My memory doesn't serve either.
Yeah. Oh, we talk to everybody tomorrow.
Yeah.
You are the last person. Marks.
I told your husband to give me an email. I recorded about the last 20 minutes. So. Oh.